We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Bite.
Let's talk Michigan football. Welcome to this week's edition of the Inside Michigan Football Radio Show. Over the next hour, we're discussing the latest around Wolverines football and hearing from players and coaches. Now, here's your host, John Jansen.
Michigan had back-to-back road tests, one in Madison, another one in Lincoln, and they aced both of them. Last week in Madison, it was a big-time win for a lot of reasons, but Michigan took a 32-29 victory, brought it home to Ann Arbor. Cade McNamara, 22 of 38, 255 yards. The two running backs, the rushing game, 204 yards on 42 carries. A great display against a very good rushing defense. Michigan's defense, at times, not the best performance, but they did what they had to do to win the game. We're going to get a chance to talk to Josh Ross a little bit later. As always, head coach Jim Harbaugh will be joining us. And quarterback Cade McNamara is going to join us. And I got a special treat for you at the end of the show today. The lead host of Defend the Block, Brian Bush. Make sure you keep it tuned in right here on Inside Michigan Football. And attention, student gamers. The $150,000 Level Next Madden National Championship is back, and it's sponsored by Unilever, supporting Feeding America with 1 million meals this fall. Registration closes October the 11th. That's today, so make sure you register. Be sure to sign up now at levelnextesports.com. We'll have head coach Jim Harbaugh next on Inside Michigan Football, brought to you from Learfield. Welcome back to Inside Michigan Football. I'm now joined by Michigan's head coach, Jim Harbaugh. And coach, now that you've had a chance to look at the film, you've had a chance to digest everything that went on in Lincoln, Nebraska. What's your reaction?
Still feel really good about it. Some of the incredible is what, right after the game, I was like enjoying so much. And there were some really incredible plays. Mike Sammerstill's catch was incredible. Dax Hill's interception was incredible. Brad Hawkins' strip of the quarterback, play of the game, and then pick it up. there were so many things like that. And really, really great play by Mozzie Smith and, and Chris Hinton. Jake Moody continues to be, you know, just on fire, the way he's performing and playing. Tremendous. Incredible Hassan Haskins, some of his short yardage runs, and and the leap over at a opposing player running full speed. I mean, that was incredible. That's as high as I've seen a man leap over another man.
And he never broke stride.
And to come down on one leg. I mean, I've said it before. He's a freak athletically. And his balance, his strength is phenomenal. Blake Corum also, you know, some of the runs he made to pick up first downs when he was contacted maybe 3-4 yards before the yard to gain and twist and turn and make the first down. Really, really incredible. Cade McNamara had some great throws. Jake Moody's performance is spectacular, but Brad still had, you know, multiple punts inside the 22, inside the 10, one down in the 5. I mean, yeah. It's just a 51-yard net. Flipped the field a few times for us. And great holds when they were needed most. As always, because his level of consistency is excellent. And more and more and more. I mean, all really good things. Just going back and looking what the offensive line did, and how they did it. Coach Moore deserves a lot of credit. I don't think I've ever seen 5 guards play in a single football game that was contested, you know, down to the last second, like happened Saturday night. Carson Barnhart would be the one to single out first and the most, play both left and right guard, played really well. And then Chuck Filiaga also played left guard and right guard and played really well. Everybody gave everything they had. Chuck Filiaga, Zach Zinter, who was playing on a little hobbled.
Mm-hmm.
And that was... knew that going into the game, and he gave it everything he had. So did Trevor Keegan, who was also working through a few things leading up through the game, but wanted to go, and, you know, kept saying, I can go. Just good stuff. And then Reese Atterbury, also a young redshirt freshman who got in there and did an outstanding job. So really, really amazing things by those 5 guys.
And I think it's what's even more impressive is when you turn on the film, and if you're just watching the game, I don't know that you would notice the interchangeable parts of, you know, Keegan being in there or Filiaga being in there or Barnhart or Zinter. I mean, it's how have you seen this offensive line? I know, because we talked about this earlier in the year where there are guys playing that, and Coach Moore said this, that maybe weren't in the too deep, but they've earned the right to get in there, and now you've got maybe the deepest offensive line that we've seen in quite some time here in terms of talent and skill and reliability to go in the game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The Constance Hayes and Vastardis and Stuber have been constants at left tackle, center, and right tackle. And at any time, Trente Jones can be – put in there, and he's going to be really, he is good. He already is. I mean, Stuber could go to guard, Trente could play the right tackle position, and Trente could play, you know, either of the tackles. He's, you know, as ready as, and as good as everybody. And, he's been emerging for a long time. I think, you know, there's the rest of the people that watch the game will take notice because he's really good too.
There's in every game, there's always ups and downs. And at the beginning of the game, you play in a stadium like that. The fans are into it. The atmosphere is amazing. Their first drive, they go down. They get, you know, inside the red zone. They get inside the 10-yard line. And you guys are able to come away with a huge fourth down stop. Again, Brad Hawkins, the guy you mentioned in regards to, you know, taking the fumble away.
Yeah, he also got the fourth down stop.
Yeah, I mean, that was just – if you've seen that play, can you describe – what happened on that play and how big of a moment that was for you guys?
Yeah, it was just it was a huge moment. I mean, just a tremendous, tremendous tackle. I mean, mm-hmm. Talking about just coming up and squaring up
on a really good athlete.
Yeah, on a really good athlete. I mean, it's, you know, as good as it gets. I mean, should be right off the teach tape, but just great courage and you know, great technique and form and you know, desire. You know, to get them stopped short of the line to gain, and that, yeah, that was huge. It was hard fought. I mean, you know, getting out to the 3-point lead was hard fought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting the 10-point lead was hard fought. Getting the, you know, then we had a 13-point lead, and that was hard fought. And then their touchdowns, you know, came pretty quick and pretty. You know, one play type of big plays, you know, really four big plays that got us, and we were able to survive that, you know, weather that storm and get the big play stop, get the momentum back to our side, and then we had to keep grinding mm-hmm. grinding, and you know, eventually came out on top.
What was it that allowed Nebraska to get some of those big plays, and what corrections do you need to make defensively to make sure that those don't continue to happen?
Well, the first one they got was it was an illegal formation.
Yeah. What the officials tell you on the sideline? I don't know if you can share that with us or not, because I know you brought up it seemed like there was a discussion on the sidelines.
Yeah, they told me that they had put the number 3 receiver on the ball. So that's the third receiver in from the sideline.
Yeah.
They put him on the ball because he said, well, you know, they can be a yard, you know.
From the line of scrimmage.
From the line of scrimmage. And so what's happening is officiating at all levels, or just the college level, put it that way. I don't know about the other levels, but, you know, they are, I think they're trying to speed up the game and not have to stop the game with as many penalties, and they're kind of putting guys on or putting them off, you know the player shows them that they're on or they're off, and they're, okay, you're on, you're off.
Yeah.
To try to speed up the game is what I think they're doing. But you don't want football to evolve into that.
Yeah.
So the issue was that, okay, the guy that they had put on the ball also went downfield on a pass. That was my issue.
Mm-hmm.
If you're putting him on the ball, you know, then you're saying he's ineligible.
He's covered up.
So that was the issue, because there was a receiver outside of him that was on the ball.
Mm-hmm. Second half, there were again some big plays by their offense. How concerned are you about letting up some of those big plays?
Yeah, John, we got to correct that. I mean, we had an issue covering the back out of the backfield. You know, the linebacker had the responsibility to cover him, and that was something we really worked on. We knew when motion went away that there was some kind of throwback pass. You know, they were gonna
mm-hmm.
throw back, and we didn't get it covered. And we were late to get it covered and wide open. And they hit it for a touchdown.
We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to Inside Michigan Football from Learfield. Welcome back to Inside Michigan Football. We're again with head coach Jim Harbaugh. And coach, there's been a lot of great moments over the past couple of weeks, actually 6 games. But last week, I thought there was an opportunity for your team to face adversity. They've never trailed before, and there's adversity in every game. But the one that we were always wondering is how your team would react when they trailed. What did you see, and how did you see your team respond?
They didn't flinch, and it was a tremendous game where both sides were making plays, some incredible plays. And that atmosphere there was as good as anywhere ever, mm-hmm. you know. That crowd was really into it. And music they were playing was really loud. They got a good speaker system there at that stadium. A lot of things stacked up against you. And the guys still didn't flinch, including, momentum shifts during the game and, getting ahead and then being behind. But no time did they flinch.
Defensively, we've already talked about some of the big plays, but I think the one that was – two of them that were very notable were by Dax Hill. The final play of the game, his coverage, but also the interception. Have you seen an interception quite like that before?
Boy, I'd have to go back to Jordan Lewis in 2016.
That catch he had.
Yeah, that was an amazing interception. Dax was just as amazing, got the tip and then fell to the ground and caught it. And I remember Jay Lou had gone up, tipped it at a very high point, and then was able to pull it in on the way down. They don't get any better than that one.
Offensively, Cade McNamara, now that you've had a chance to look at the film, how would you rate his performance? And also moving forward, do you plan on keeping with the, every once in a while sprinkling in J.J. McCarthy?
Yeah, I thought Cade played really well. One of his best games, if not his best game. Had a heck of a game. And as far as J.J., yeah, definitely want to keep playing J.J. as much as possible. And I kind of look back in some other years and did we get the backup quarterback enough reps? Did we have him ready for when we really needed him? And it's been a few years where we're 17. We had played three or four quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. When Wilton got hurt and John and then Brandon, and then Brandon got hurt and then we're back to John. I mean, there was that. There's been the 15 year when Jake Rudek was hurt in the middle of the Ohio State game. And also the Minnesota game. And Wilton came in, did a fabulous job at that game in Minnesota in 2015. So there's been some other guys. Shea was banged up a few times. There's just times where you need that backup quarterback to have played and get as much experience and as many reps as possible.
You mentioned the speed of the game. It was slowed down by a drive that had seemed like endless reviews, and one of those took away a touchdown by Hassan because Cade tripped. What did you see or what caused him? Did he get stepped on? Did he just trip on the turf? What happened on the end of that drive there at the goal line?
He got stepped on, and he just can't get stepped on. He's got to reposition his feet so that he doesn't get stepped on, because the center can't have your foot too close to either the center's feet, because mm-hmm. they're going to sometimes be knocked back a little bit and have to reposition their foot.
Bye week. What are some of the goals that you have for this team in the bye week?
So preparing for future opponents, that's number one. Number two is self-scouting, looking to see it in any area, what area that we can improve on, even the ones we've been successful at, to try to keep those going, and also areas that we can make improvements, and also recruiting, and those are the major priorities. Plus, my wife lost her mom recently, passed away, and we're going to celebrate her life tomorrow in Kansas City. All the things she just brought daily to so many people. It's a natural life giver and mm-hmm. healer, natural healer, caregiver. I mean, just so many things, the way she supported so many people. So look forward to doing that too tomorrow.
Well, the Michigan family will be with you. We're sorry for your loss, for Sarah's loss.
Thank you. So many people have reached out. It's been very, very heartwarming.
We pray for safe travels and comfort for your family, but we thank you for joining us tonight, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
All right, thanks, John.
You're listening to Inside Michigan Football from Learfield. Welcome back to Inside Michigan Football. I am now with senior linebacker, stud extraordinaire on this year's defense, Josh Ross. Josh, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
This season so far, 6-0, it has to be so much fun for you guys.
Oh, yeah.
What is it, other than the wins, what's making this season different than the years that you've had previous?
I got one word for you, and that's brotherhood. The way we play together, the bond we've built since last season, knowing it wasn't good enough and coming into the offseason and approaching it the right way, we've been having each other's back all year. And it's just, you know, showing these weeks to weeks. But I love my brothers, and we love each other, and we love playing for each other, and it's been great.
So much of what you just said, I think, has to come from juniors and seniors. Yeah. I think it has to come from the leadership on this team. And when did you start to see that brotherhood develop?
I started to see that brotherhood develop in spring ball. I remember vividly in practices, just, you know, having great practices as a defense and having a new coaching staff and us learning so well and working so well together, and actually seeing, you know, the train move and seeing us make plays together and work together. It started in spring ball, you know what I'm saying? And before that, it was in workouts. But just the way we play together, you know, even before the games, talking to Mozzie Smith, talking to Chris Hinton, my D-line, and, you know, Aiden talking to us backers in the back end, talking to the backers, the way we communicate together, it's like we're unstoppable when we're working together the way we are.
And obviously, brand-new defense.
Yeah.
What is it about this defense that you like? Because it seems that you're very comfortable running that middle linebacker position. In the first week, it seemed like there were some things on all phases of the defense where you guys were trying to sort out some timing. Yeah. Since then, it feels like you guys have been in this defense for years.
Yeah, I mean, I would tell you this, you know, One thing our coaches do a really, really great job of, and one thing the scheme does a great job of, is maximizing everybody's abilities to the best degree. You know, you got guys like David Ajabo, you know, coming out and playing to where they're playing, and our back end playing to where they're playing, and, of course, Aiden Hutchinson, Maji Smith, Chris Hinton, all these guys that's always been here, but now it's, you know, you can see it, and we're playing so well together. So it's just a blessing that we were able, that I'm able to be coached by Coach Mike McDonald and our staff, and we're able to work together because I love it for sure.
Old school neck roll. How many times have you been reached out to from either former players, old coaches, and they're like, damn, that looks sweet?
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely people have been reaching out. You know, this is actually the first time in my whole entire life where I've ever had a neck roll on. So, you know, it takes some getting used to. But, you know, I like it, and I'm playing good. So, you know, we'll see.
The second half of the Rutgers game, when you were not able to play,
yeah,
I know they took your helmet. I know that you were scratching and clawing, trying to convince them to get in there. How hard was that for you to not be able to be a part of that second half?
Yeah, it was extremely tough. You know, especially seeing the tide turn and the momentum shift, and I'm not really able to do anything physical because I'm not able to go in, but, you know, lead and keep everybody heads in the game and keep them motivated. But at the end of the day, regardless, I wasn't able to go back in the game, but our defense bowled up and showed what we're capable of down in the stretch in a game that the momentum was shifting, and we were able to hold them off and get a win.
You guys go on the road to Wisconsin. You're a road dog. You come away with a win. Now, I know that trip probably – there had to be a mental challenge for you because 2 years ago, that's where you got hurt.
Yeah.
How tough was that to walk on that field? Did you have any visions of when you got hurt, of, you know, any caution at that time?
No. It was just go mode. You know what I'm saying? We owe Wisconsin, to be honest with you. That's how I felt. That's how our defense felt. It wasn't good enough years past, and there's no reason why it should have been like that. So we went into, you know, Madison on a mission of, you know, we got to get the job done. You know what I'm saying? Like, we haven't won here in however many, so many years, but that don't matter. It comes down to us, how well we communicate, how well we play together, and how well we produce.
Now, I know you said the brotherhood, but there's something that I noticed that's different with this team. First of all, the jump around, whatever they call that at the between the third and fourth quarter in Nebraska, you guys owned it. How much fun were those moments?
So you got jump around, and then you got the thunderstruck with Nebraska.
Is that what they call it? Yeah. They got a lot of gimmicks.
I don't know what it's called, but I just know that's a song they play. But that moment was just so surreal and cool as a defense to be in a hostile environment, to be in a territory where you're not liked by nobody, but you're making it your own. And you're making that stadium your own. And that's, you know what I'm saying, what we did and what we have been doing. And look to continue to do, you know, playing with a chip on our shoulder, playing together as one, and, you know, keep playing winning football.
The other thing I've noticed, we talked to Josh Ross, who's the middle linebacker here at Michigan this year, is you go into halftime at Wisconsin. They stole a little momentum with the touchdown going into halftime. I think in years past, it would have been hard for this Michigan team to recover. Last week in Lincoln, you guys trail for the first time, 22-19. They go up. What is it? Is it a challenge? Is it just you guys, you're playing 60 minutes, you don't care? What's different about being able to handle not just the ups, but also some of the downs that happen in every game?
Yeah, one thing our coach Mike McDonald preaches, you know, pretty much before every game, like, it's going to be adversity. You know what I'm saying? Adversity is going to strike. How we react is what we'll be judged off of. And we knew adversity was going to hit, and it wasn't no surprise. But the biggest piece with this team that's different is just we just kept our composure. Everybody, coaches, players, everybody kept their composure, kept playing football, and just went out there and just played the next snap as hard as you can, and looked up, and we were in the place we wanted to be.
You guys enter the bye week. You're 6-0. What's the goal for the bye week? What are you guys trying to get out of this weekend that I want to say off? It's not necessarily off, but it's you're not going to be playing in the big house.
Yeah. You know, just, you know, recovery, to be honest with you. You know, first half of the season's done. All that's over with. But now, you know what I'm saying, this next half is where it gets crucial and gets hot and gets the games that you want to play in as a Michigan Wolverine. So, you know, get our bodies right, recover, and just get our minds right, ready to go, because this second half stretch is what makes legends.
Is there time during the bye week to start? I know Northwestern's the next game. That's going to be the major focus. But there's four teams in the Big Ten East in the top 10. Obviously, you guys are one of them. Michigan State, Penn State, Ohio State. Will you take some time to look at some film on those guys? Will you take some time to focus on, especially that last game, Ohio State?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely going to take some time to look at film on those guys, you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, one game at a time, keep pushing, keep pressing, and we're going to look up, you know what I'm saying? We're going to be where we want to be.
What's the goal, what's the mantra as you guys get into this bye week, but more importantly, six in, you got six left. Mm-hmm. It's now become a sprint. What are you guys preaching to each other as you approach the second half of the season?
Yeah, you know, the main thing we're preaching to each other, let's just consistently keep getting better. Don't take no steps down. That's been our message as players, player to player, just the whole year. Is like, let's take everything up a notch. Every single week we get to the new weekend, you know, let's make our communication better. You know, let's work together better. Let's, you know, make our assignments better. Let's be on the same page. Better. And that's going to be our biggest thing just going into these next 6 weeks is, you know what I'm saying, let's just keep getting better. And the sky's the limit for this team, for this defense. And I really believe that. And we really feel that. And we're just ready to go.
I also want to ask you this, because you've been around for some time now.
Yeah.
Coach Harbaugh seems different this year. Have you guys noticed that? He seems more energetic, and I don't want to put you in a bad spot. He seems more energetic. He seems excited. And obviously, you know, some of that comes with the wins. Some of that comes with, you know, the expectations that you guys have. But at the end of the Nebraska game, when he did the interview with us, I've never seen him smile and talk the way he did. Is it the more appropriate question is it exciting for you guys to see him have success as well as this team?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. It's super exciting. One thing I will say, though, about Coach Harbaugh. The way, you know, from outside looking in, how it seems as if he's changed or as if, you know, he's different. We feel the same way as far as us and our mental, as far as how we're approaching it, how we're coming into games with a chip on our shoulder, with confidence, preparing the right way and having great weeks of practice. You know, that's what gives you confidence going into games. And, you know, that's what we've been doing a really, really good job of is our preparation. And we just look to continue to keep, you know, turning it up every week and having the best weeks we possibly can have every week. And then by that last one, we'd be where we want to be.
Josh, I appreciate your time, and best of luck, you know, getting any nicks and bumps and scratches. Is the neck roll going to stay even when you're 100% healthy?
You'll see.
All right, Josh Ross, middle linebacker, thank you.
All right, thank you.
We'll be back with more. You're listening to Inside Michigan Football from Learfield.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome back to Inside Michigan Football. I've now got the starting quarterback of Michigan's football team, Cade McNamara. Cade, thanks for joining us. The environment in Lincoln, Nebraska, can you describe it for us?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was really my second game ever in front of fans and an away game, and I think there's no better way to really get my career started off in that way. It was incredible. The atmosphere was electric. Even though it wasn't in our favor, I still think playing in that level of energy of a game was a great experience.
So you've now had Madison, Wisconsin, Lincoln, Nebraska, both away with fans, and the maze out. I mean, this year so far in six games, you've had three epic moments. What's been your favorite of those three? Not the environment, because I think we'd all say the maze out at home.
Right.
But moments in those games, what has stood out to you?
Yeah, I think first off, starting with the maze out, I think the drive that we went right down the field to start the second half was probably my favorite moment of the Washington game. And then in terms of when we were at Madison, the jump around, I mean, that was sweet. And then I loved how we took it to Nebraska too, that, you know, they had their own song and, you know, they were using it to fuel themselves and we used that to fuel us too. So I think overall, when they shut the lights off in Lincoln, and all the whole crowd had their flashlights on and it was dark with the red and, the music blasting, I think each three atmospheres were all super unique and all three I enjoyed.
I didn't know that they were going to turn the lights off. Did you guys know that ahead of time? I knew that they did the whole Thunderstruck thing, but I didn't know that the lights were going to go out.
I had no idea. And I mean, it was sweet. I'll give it to Nebraska. I'll give it to, you know, their stadium is sweet and it was great to make it quiet.
So you guys trailed for the first time. And then you guys take the field. What was the conversation like? What was the mood in the huddle about we need to respond?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there was a sense of urgency for sure. You know, the farther we get in the season, I mean, there are going to be dogfights. We're not going to roll everyone, every team we play. And I think us being in that game showed ourselves, like, look, as we go farther into the season, you know, it was a big game for us in terms of, you know, recognizing just like really putting to truth what we think we are.
I talked to Josh Ross just a little bit ago, and he mentioned the brotherhood that is with this team right now. from an offensive perspective, how close are you guys and how much does that help you in moments like that?
Yeah, I think we're a very close unit. I think in years past since I've been here, I think it's been really like position specific driven in terms of who the guys hang out with and everything. But I think really right off the get this year, all position groups, everyone's been hanging out together. We really started off the season by doing player-led meetings at Andrew Suber and Joel Horningford's house, and just all of us getting together in that sense. And there was no awkwardness. I mean, the guys love each other. We love to spend time with one another. And even though we might be with each other all day, we still enjoy each other's company. And I think that brotherhood, as Josh mentioned, showed.
Joel had his first catch last week. What was it like to deliver one to him?
Yeah,
he's a big
awesome.
Target.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a big play in the game. And to be honest, I think I put more heat on it than I wanted to. And I didn't recognize I was throwing to Joel until right before I let the ball go. I was looking at the defense. But Joel's a team favorite kind of guy. And I'm so happy that he got his first catch. And I know I think I saw on the TV copy when they showed Joel and Eric was smiling.
Yeah, right behind him.
Despite the atmosphere, despite the moment in the game, despite the seriousness, everyone, even right as soon as it happened, was like, "Let's go, Joel!" It was just a sweet moment.
You've had an opportunity now. You've lost, Ronnie Bell early in the season. Roman Wilson wasn't available yet. Other guys continue to step in and step up. How do you continue to develop the relationships with the receivers that are being called upon on a weekly basis?
Yeah, this is something that we've been talking about for a while, and something I've mentioned is as the season goes on, and I think as different game plans approach, you're going to see other guys make really big-time games. And I think, this week with Roman being out and obviously Ronnie being out, I think Daylon stepped into the role really well. He had himself a great game. And I think, really as we continue to develop our chemistry and, I think we can really get something going with that group.
Now that you've had a chance to start for six games, defenses start to try and figure you out. What are you seeing from defenses? How are they trying to defend you as a quarterback?
Yeah, I think, we've shown that we can push the ball downfield, and I think, us being able to take like our chances in terms of developing ways to continue to do that is something that is going to continue to happen throughout the rest of the season. And I think overall the defenses that we've faced so far in the Big Ten have been really good. So I think I'm just really accepting the challenge, and I know the offensive unit is excited and we're confident.
What is it you want to work on during the bye week?
I think overall, I mean, especially as a team, we need to, we're a little banged up. And I think, this bye week came at a perfect time. It was really God's timing. And I think over the bye week, I want to make sure that my body's in the right place and clean up a couple things mechanically that I noticed the first half of the season and be dialed in for the second.
What's it meant for you to have Andrew Vistardis have the season he's having? I mean, he's a super senior. There's not going to be anybody with more experience. There's, in my opinion, probably clearly nobody smarter than him on the team. What type of an asset has he been to you?
He's a huge asset. Me and V have a really good relationship. Our communication, our understanding of what he's seen and what I'm seeing, I think it's a really good blend. And I have a ton of confidence in him. And I love being his teammate.
Well, Cade, I appreciate your time. Thanks for stopping in, and we look forward to watching you in the second half of the season.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Inside Michigan Football. If you missed any of tonight's show, check out the replay on MGoBlue Podcasts. Subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.